today. And Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, even for Fred sharing this morning on the belt of truth. And Lord, how that truth is the foundation. That truth is the very person of Jesus Christ. And we should be a people that love the truth and can discern the truth and want the truth in all areas. Now we lift up our pastor and we pray, Lord, that you'd anoint every word that he speaks here this morning. Lord, as Bob says all the time, we can hear it, but Lord, we need to be obedient to it. And we pray, Lord, that we would take this word, we'd be obedient, and it'd bring forth much fruit. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm sure you know now by now that over the last few months, what we've been talking about is the Holy Spirit. And we've seen that the Holy Spirit is involved in everything that God does. You know, everything he's done here on this earth, anything he's done in our lives, he's been there. He was there at the creation of the world. He was there at the conception of Jesus, at his birth, all throughout his ministry, and at the resurrection, of course. And the Holy Spirit was there when the church was first birthed and is still active and moving in the church today, even in our church right here and now. And the Holy Spirit is also there at the turning of every single heart towards Christ. He's the one who brings conviction, and he's the one who opens up the Spirit within us to be able to see Christ and to receive him as our Lord. Last week we saw that the Holy Spirit empowers, the last 2 weeks, the Holy Spirit empowers every single one of us to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. We saw that he's called us to speak for him and share God's message of forgiveness and reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, "This is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us, those of us right here, he's committed to us at Downriver Christian Community Church, the message of reconciliation, which it means bringing back together, bringing us to God. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. Somebody has to share God's good news. Somebody has to speak it out. Somebody, you know, had to speak it out for us to hear. Somehow it had to get out there, whether it was through a voice, a message, a word written, whatever it was. Somebody had to do something so that we could hear that message. And that somebody that God wants to do that message of reconciliation, the good news, the message of forgiveness, that somebody that he wants to use is you. It's not him, it's not her, it's not somebody else. We need to say, it's me. I have been called. Every one of us in here could say, I have been called to be God's ambassador, as though God is speaking through me the message of reconciliation, of forgiveness, the good news, to share that with everyone. Romans 10:14 says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" How's anybody going to hear the gospel if nobody preaches it? I mean, if nobody shares the message, then how would anybody ever know? And the message would be lost. How can anyone preach unless they've been sent? So, who sends us? How do we get sent? Who's the one who's sending them? That is the Holy Spirit. Is the one who sends us. He's the one who leads us. He's the one who compels us. He's the one who opens up the pathways. He's the one who makes a way and urges us, moves us, spurs us on. When Stephen, the apostle, the one who our first martyr, when Stephen was debating with the Jewish leaders in the synagogue, we're told in Acts 6:10 that they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. You see, the Holy Spirit was helping him speak. Stephen didn't have that kind of wisdom. He was just a normal guy. And he began somehow all this just started coming out of him like crazy. And he began to explain the whole history of Israel, all the way from Abraham on down, how God has been working through his people all throughout history. And about how God had rejected the prophets, and how the people had rebelled against God, how they had resisted his offer of mercy and grace and forgiveness, and how that they had even killed his son, the Messiah. And then he tells them, you are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. There he is again. There's the Holy Spirit again. He's telling them that all throughout this time, the Holy Spirit's been trying to get a hold of you. And yet you resist him. And so what happened was, if you know the story, they started, you know, ripping their clothes and gnashing their teeth. They took him out and killed him. They stoned him. And full of the Holy Spirit, he looked up and saw Jesus in heaven. And I thought what was really interesting when I was reading that was, you know, then it says all the guys that were stoning him, they took off their cloaks and stuff and they laid him at the feet of Saul, who would become Paul, the first apostle. So the first martyr for Jesus was overseen by probably what we might consider the greatest apostle, the greatest evangelist for sure, of all time. I'm sure that had an impact on him. You know, listening later on, could you imagine that guy thinking all the time that God forgiven him and all that God's done for him? And then he keeps thinking back, yeah, and I was the one that killed his first martyr. I was the one that gave him the authority. I was the one that made it possible. I was the one that stood there. How'd you like to have that on your conscience? You know, Paul was always talking about how he was a greater sinner than anyone else, and I'm sure that was part of what played in the back of his mind all the time. You were like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Man, he just spoke it right out there. But it's always people like Stephen, regular people like you and me, who God calls to speak on his behalf, to do his will. And today what I want to do is I want to take this a step further. I'm not going to talk about witnessing today or even speaking, but I want to go, well, some speaking, but I want to go beyond that and talk a little bit about something that God is looking for, and that is faithful servants. Faithful servants. Servants who will humble themselves and be willing to be obedient to the call of God upon their life. And there's only one way we can do that. We can only do that through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us, enables us to become true servants of the living God. And this is our calling. This is our calling to be servants of God, whether it's in speaking or in actions or in whatever we do, but God has called us to be his servants. Jesus, who was filled with the Spirit, gave us an example of servanthood when he washed the feet of his disciples at the last, what we call the Last Supper, and they had their last meal together before he was to die. He began to wash their feet. And, you know, they felt really weird that God, in a sense, I mean, Jesus, who they knew was someone, if they maybe didn't totally understand it, but they were beginning to get this idea that he was God, or that, you know, he was the Messiah. And for him to wash their feet, Peter at first totally rejected it. But when he did that, Jesus told them that the greatest among you, and it's funny that he would say that, because it wasn't too long before that they were arguing who was going to be the greatest in heaven, who would be able to sit next to Jesus. And now Jesus ends up washing their feet and says to them, the greatest among you will be your servant. In Acts 10:38, it tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Again, he was filled with the Spirit. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And because of that, he went around doing all this good stuff, be it a true servant. Matthew 20:28 tells us that Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. That's why he came here, to serve. God came to serve us. Isn't that? It's amazing. Amazing love. We sing that song, Amazing Love, that my King would die for me. And it's true. It's amazing. There's no other faith that has anything like that. There's never been any other of these false gods that would kill himself or allow himself to be killed for his people. In fact, what they did, they turned it around and they had those people killing their babies and other people. But our God was willing to die for us because he loved us so much, because he was willing to serve us. And now he's calling us to be like him. And he says, the greatest among you will be a servant. That Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. He was the greatest servant who ever lived. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, really lays it all out. I'm going to read this section to you here. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. Now, I hope that's where we are. That every one of us here, we're encouraged, we're filled, we're happy, we're excited that we are united with Christ. We should. If we're a Christian, we're united with Christ, right? If any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, there it is again. If we're united with Christ, if we're comforted by his love, we have that common bond of the Holy Spirit. We're together in this, that we have the Spirit of God. If any tenderness and compassion, this is Paul talking, and then he says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. But do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. And not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset, the same attitude as Christ Jesus. I want you to be like Jesus. He's telling us we need the same mindset, the same attitude, the same outlook on life, the same perspective as Jesus did. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Instead, he made himself nothing and took on the very nature of a servant. He could have been God, is what he's saying. He could have came down here and owned us. He could have came down here and made everything go the way he wanted to go. But instead, he came here and took on the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, we start to think about that and we say, I can't be that kind of a servant. I don't think I could ever go as far as Jesus did. I mean, he was Jesus. Yeah, he was Jesus. He was God. He didn't have to serve anybody. He could have commanded obedience. He could have demanded obedience. He could have made us obey. But instead, he became a servant. He became an example. He showed us. He taught them. You know, by washing their feet, by coming and serving, by going around and helping and serving and blessing people. So we think, well, I can't do what Jesus did. And I agree, we can't. I can't. You can't. But God can through us. And that's what we have to remember, is that the servant that we need to be is a servant that is God-ordained, a servant that is Holy Spirit-led. We want to be the kind of servant that is led by God, not led by our flesh. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us." See, God, his Holy Spirit, is this power at work in us. And now we are to become like him. We are to become like God, like Christ, a servant. But not just any old servant. Not just a regular servant. Not just somebody who, you know, you hire and they come in and they do a job. We're not looking to be the maid or the butler in Downton Abbey or something like that, you know? We don't serve under the law. We don't serve under some legalistic system. We don't serve in the flesh. We serve by the Spirit. Romans chapter 7, verse 6, tells us we serve in the new way of the Spirit. See, it's a different way of serving. We serve in love. We serve with humility. We serve as we are led by the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit who was in Jesus is living inside of us right now. He is alive and well and living in us. John 6:63 says, "The Spirit gives life, but the flesh counts for nothing." We can't please God when our service is in the flesh, when we're just doing things by rote, when we do things by, you know, out of routine, when we do things out of fear, when we do things for money, when we do things to look good, all those kind of ways, you know, those don't please God. That's not the way we serve God. We don't do it just because it's, you know, it's the right thing to do. There's certainly nothing wrong with doing something because it's the right thing to do. It's a good thing to do. But the serving that we want, that we need to be going for, is to serve as we are led by the Holy Spirit. Knowing what we're supposed to do gives us the guideline. It shows us what we're, you know, how to behave, and knowing God's Word teaches us the way we're supposed to do things and what is right and what is wrong. But still, even knowing all that, we still have to have the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us to do that in the right time. Only the Holy Spirit can give us what we need to do what we have to do at the right time. Only the Holy Spirit can direct us to serve whenever, however, whoever. We don't know. We can study the Bible all day long and know it inside and out, but if we're not led by the Spirit of God, we still don't please God. If we're just doing it from, you know, just right because it's right. It is right. It's good that it's right, that we're doing what's right, but we still have to take that and do it as the Spirit of God is leading us. It's so important for us to get this inside of us that, you know, we can't just live by the rule book. You know, we always want to know, well, just tell me straight out, what do I got to do? You know, just tell me what I got to do so I can just do it. That's what we want. As human beings, that's the way we want it. We just want to know, what do we got to do so we can forget about trying to figure it out, so we can forget about trying to hear it. We just want to know. I want to know, what do I got to do? Just tell me. Hurry up, you know, just let me do it. And God's saying, no, it's not quite like that. Because God knows what to do. God knows how to read hearts. He knows the times, the places. He knows all these things, and he knows how to lead us at just the right place for just the right person and just what to do. And so he has to tell us somehow, and that couldn't have been already written in the Bible for every single person to know what to do in every single situation. So he uses the Bible as the general overall manual for how to live, but then he takes the Bible and uses that truth And the Holy Spirit then reminds us of that truth and tells us now is the time to use that truth right now. Here, do it now with that person. And we'll see the results. They work together. The Word and the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Word is called the sword of the Spirit. It works and flows together. 1 Peter 4:10 tells us, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, what we already talked about, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God, being his ambassador. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. So we're supposed to use our gifts, it says right there. And where do these gifts come from? 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them all. So the Holy Spirit's the one who gives us our gifts. He gives us our abilities. He gives us all those things. And then it says, then we serve God with the strength that He provides. Well, where do we get that strength? You should remember by now, Acts 1:8. Go wait in Jerusalem, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That's where we get our power, or our strength, through the Holy Spirit. So He gives us the gifts. He gives us the power and the strength to use those gifts. He leads us into the truth, and then He leads us and tells us when to move. So we see that from beginning to end, from conception until fulfillment, you look at Jesus' life even, from conception until the fulfillment of the resurrection, we see that that whole nature of a servant, everything about being a servant, comes through the Holy Spirit. It comes from God, but through the Holy Spirit. You know, the way He works in us. Even when we find ourselves in a situation where we say, I don't have the ability to do this. I've never done this. I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. Or we don't have the know-how. You know, we just don't have the ability or the know-how. The Holy Spirit can birth something new in us at that point. He can still work with us as long as we're willing. I was thinking about Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. In Luke 1:35, an angel told Mary, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And in Matthew 1:20, an angel told Joseph, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So Mary couldn't have a baby because Mary was not married and she was a virgin. So she couldn't have a baby in that situation. So God says, well, I want you to have, you know, I mean, my son Jesus. How can this be? I've never been with a man. I'm not married. She was honorable. And she said, "I, you know, that can't be." But obviously, we saw that it happened because God can make anything happen that He wants. And through the Holy Spirit, He can, you know, He can work in us. He can put something in us that maybe is not there, was never there before, and yet He can bring that out of us. The key for Mary was her willingness to be used. Do you remember what her answer was? May your word, may it be unto me as you said, or may your word to me be fulfilled. In other words, whatever you say, God, whatever you say, I'll do it. So she was willing to be somebody who had a baby who shouldn't have been able to have a baby. I mean, that doesn't happen. But it did. And we're told specifically that the Holy Spirit was the one that was involved in this. He brought forth something that was impossible. And do you think the things that God would call us to do would be any more impossible than that? I can't imagine. I mean, we say, well, God, I can't speak. I don't know how to speak. I don't know how to share my testimony, say, for instance. I don't know how to share my testimony. I can't do that. Okay, what's harder, sharing your testimony or having a baby that you shouldn't be able to have? I think if God can do the baby through the Holy Spirit, He can do the testimony through you, through the Holy Spirit. So we have to be willing to serve God as readily as Mary was. Acts 17:26 tells us, "From one man He made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live." So I find that's really interesting, that God ordained the time that we should live, the time that we were born. Remember, Jesus says was born at just the right time. Well, you know what? So were you. You were born at just the right time. God ordained your time. You weren't a freak of nature. You weren't, you know, born some way that God had no knowledge of, or, you know, that it was not a part of. God knows everything. He's involved in everything. And so you were born at the right time. You were born in the place. You were, you know, you live in the place where God determined ahead of time that you were going to be. And we know that God has a reason for everything He does, doesn't He? God is not just a God of coincidence. He's not a haphazard God who just, you know, things happen around all around Him and He goes, "Wow, look at that." I doubt God has ever said, "Well, I never thought that would happen." He knows everything. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. He works out all things to the good. He works out all things to the good. So God knows what's going on all around us. And it says then He determined the time and the place that we should live. And now that we're there, and God has this reason for having us alive at a certain time and being in a certain place at a certain time, and now He steps in through the Holy Spirit and He gives each one of us a unique gifting or a talent or an ability to be used at that time, in that place, for that situation. And it's to bring glory to God and to bring others to God, to bring to share that message of reconciliation, to bring others into the kingdom, into the church. Everything truly does work out for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. If we truly love God and desire to walk in His plan for our life, and if we let, you know, the Holy Spirit lead us, we're going to find that God is going to be using us in amazing ways that we just never thought could happen. We'll be in the midst of situations and all of a sudden something will happen and we'll say, "Man, how in the world did God use me for that?" You know? And if we're open, and if we're willing like Mary was, who knows what kind of thing He could birth in you. He might pull something out of you that you never, ever thought would happen. But if you come at the day, if you come at life, if you come to God with this willing heart that says, "God, here I am, use me. Here I am, Lord, use me." God will find a way to use you. He's always looking for willing vessels. I know sometimes we want to help people. Sometimes we see a certain situation and we think, yeah, we have this feeling inside of us that we'd like to help. But we think to ourselves, "But I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." Well, God can work with that. He can work with that. In Matthew 13:11, especially when, you know, it's talking about here's something to say. We might, you know, we're somebody's struggling with something and we want to go comfort them. And we're thinking like, "Man, I don't know what to say." And sometimes, of course, you don't say anything. Sometimes you just might hug somebody. Or you might maybe bring them something or do something for them. Take care of something for them if they're struggling. But when it comes to something that we might maybe need to say to somebody, in Mark 13:11 it says, "Do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit." Just like Stephen when he was in the temple there and the synagogue, talking to the Jewish leaders. He didn't plan that. Just like Peter when he went out after they received the Holy Spirit and he started speaking and he gave this first gospel message and 3,000 people got saved. That wasn't a prepared message. He just spoke as the Holy Spirit led him. Just like when Peter and John were speaking and the leader said, "Who are these men? These are ordinary men. How can they speak like this?" All these different times where, you know, the Holy Spirit uses us to speak. I remember a time when a story Bob shares, one of my favorite ones, are the ones that he shares about when he was over at, actually I think it was Allen Park, when it used to be Allen Park Fruit Market, and standing in the line, in the deli line, to get a party tray, and there was a guy up in front of him, a few people ahead of him, and he starts getting this word for the guy. You know, and just a simple word, "Don't worry, everything's going to be okay, she's all right." And he's like, "I can't go tell him that, the guy's going to think I'm an idiot, you know." And so he stands there and he starts feeling more and more convicted, you know, by the Holy Spirit. You know, if you've ever felt that, I know I've felt it different times, and the pressure starts to build. It's like you got the air hose on your tire and you're not taking it off, and it's just getting fuller and fuller and fuller, you know. And you know if you don't take it off sooner or later, it's going to explode. And that's about how you feel. So you know you got to do it. So he got to that point where he knew he had to do it. So he goes up to the guy and says, "Excuse me, sir. This might sound a little strange, but I feel that I've got something that God wants me to tell you." And the guy was polite and said, "Well, okay, what?" And he says, "Well, God wanted me to tell you that it's going to be okay. She's all right." And the guy starts crying, because he was in line at that moment buying a deli tray for his wife's funeral, wondering if she went to heaven or not. Who would know that? Who could possibly know that except the Holy Spirit, you know, to give that to Bob at that time? And that's how God can use us in a way. He didn't know what that meant. Nobody else in line knew what that meant. That guy had no idea who Bob was, but God knew the whole situation. He knew Bob. He knew what he could get him to do. He knew the guy that he was hurting, that he was worried about his wife. He knew the other people that were in line between them that were going to be hearing that. That it was their turn to hear something like that and see, like, and they're going to go home and say, "Man, you wouldn't believe what I saw at the deli today." I bet there was people that went there that went home and told that and stuck with the people that they told. Who knows? For all we know, a couple of them might have got saved because of that. You just never know how God can use us. But He does, if we allow Him to lead us by His Holy Spirit. Sometimes we want to pray for someone, but we don't know what to pray. God can work with that. In Romans 8:26, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans," or groans without word, groanings without words. Sometimes we pray in the Spirit, and then sometimes God will reveal something to us as we're praying, or we don't even know sometimes what we pray, but God knows. And as the Spirit of God is speaking through us and praying through us, it can minister to that person's spirit. The Holy Spirit can remind us of God's truth. John 16:13, "When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come." So He'll remind us of truth. He'll lead us into the truth. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He does all these things. And he helps us to be, you know, He does this so that we can serve God and bring glory and honor to God. Do you consider yourself to be a child of God, to be one of His children? If you're one of His, then He'll lead you by His Spirit. In Romans 8:14, it says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." You can actually look at that in two ways. If you allow yourself to be led by the Spirit, then you can be called a child of God. But if you're a child of God, you can also be expecting to be led by the Spirit. As we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit and obey Him, then we become the best servant that we could ever be. You know, we can be a friend to people. We can be a helper, a helpmate to people. But when it comes to serving God, if we want to be a true servant, God's servant, the servant that He desires, the only way we can be that servant and the way we can be the best at being that servant is being led by the Spirit of God. We need to always remember what 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." And 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, "Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build the church." Remember, in all these things that we're talking about being a servant, there's a master plan that God is dealing with here. Jesus has this plan. And it's to bring all things. We see it all right up on here. God's plan, the mystery of the ages, to bring all things together under the authority of His Son, Jesus Christ. And what Jesus is doing is He's building His church. He tells Peter, "I'm going to build my church, you know, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it." So there's this ongoing work that God is doing here on this earth. And He needs people, He could do it if He wanted to apart from us, but He doesn't. He chooses to use us. So I can say He needs people to do their part. We co-labor. That's what we're talking about in our men's meeting, how we're co-laboring with God. We have a job to do in this plan, this great plan of God's, this great, wonderful plan of God's where He builds His church, where He's making His bride ready, where He's gathering in, where He's building His kingdom. And you and I, every one of us here, are part of this great plan. We're part of His church. So our job as servants of God, as servants that are led by the Holy Spirit, is to help Jesus build His church. So there are certain things that He's called us to do, and I'm just going to name a couple real quick here. We need to love one another. These are direct quotes from Scripture. As a servant of God, we need to love one another. This is what our Master is calling us to do. We need to forgive one another when we do something stupid. We need to stir one another up to love God, to get excited about God. We need to encourage one another, especially when someone's down. We need to encourage them, give them courage to go, to continue on, to fight, to go forward. We need to pray for one another in person. Someone starts telling us something that's going on in their life, don't just say, "Well, I hope it gets better." Say, "You know what, let me pray for you." Just put your hand right on their shoulder and just pray for them right then. And then pray for them when you get home too. We need to serve what we've been talking about. Serve one another. And that includes our husbands. That includes our wives. That includes our children. Our parents, includes our families, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And even we serve those who are still lost. That's what Jesus did for us, right? He loved us while we were yet sinners. That's how, when we show that love, when we serve them in love, that's how they recognize. That's how something connects in them that where they recognize. Because remember, when their time is ready, every time we serve somebody in love, it may not be their time to get saved. But it adds up. It adds up. And as, especially as we do it, as the Holy Spirit leads us to do it, something is happening. And it's either another deposit that's getting ready, or it's the time. And we need to be aware. And we need to really listen then when somebody starts talking back to us and we start talking to them and they start responding. We need to be aware, like, are they giving me clues that they're ready? You know, I always feel bad when I hear somebody tell a story about how they were talking to somebody and they were talking about God, and then they say, yeah, we had a great conversation, and then I'm waiting for them to say something like, so, you know, then I prayed with them, and then they say, so, I hope it all works out for them. And I'm thinking, like, well, did you try to pray, or did you hear from God that maybe you should pray or not? Now, maybe they weren't supposed to pray. But, you know, we need to listen and make sure, were we supposed to pray or were we not? Were we supposed to leave that for the next person? Because it might be designed that you were the one to bring them to the edge and the next person will pray with them. We don't know. That's why we have to be led by the Spirit of God. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good. Let us serve. Doing good, that's Jesus went around doing good. It's serving. That's what it's talking about. Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So God's laying it out, how this lays out. We do good. We serve everybody. We should have the mentality of a servant. We serve for Christ because we belong to Christ. So we do it for Him. We're His servants. We're God's servants. He already owns us. He bought and paid for us. He doesn't even have to pay us anymore on a weekly basis. He's already paid the price. He bought us. He redeemed us. And we're His servants. As His servant, He's saying, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go out and serve others. Pass it on. It's not our option. We don't just decide. If we truly love Christ, if we are truly trying to live for Christ and serve Christ, then we take on that same way as Jesus. We are supposed to serve. We've been called to be servants. We're supposed to have the same attitude that Jesus had, who actually was God, but who humbled Himself and took on the nature of a servant. You know, if God can lower Himself to be a man, so and then wash the feet of other people, can we find it in our hearts to lower ourselves a little bit and serve others? Can we serve those, especially those that God is really leading us to serve? Can we be obedient to that leading? In Romans 12:3, it says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition, which always leads to problems, or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. So if we value others and we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought, when we see others in need, we just should automatically want to help them. It might be something as simple as picking up a scarf at a restaurant. Or making a call for somebody. Or picking somebody up. Or bringing a meal. Or praying for somebody. Whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is. It's whatever God tells us to do at the time. Sometimes we think that it's so important to be important. Think about that. We think that it's important to us that to be important and to be like ahead of others, to be above others, to be more important than others. But remember what Jesus said. He said, the greatest among you will be the servant. The greatest among you will be the servant. Who are we trying to please? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Are we trying to please the world? Are we trying to please this self? Or are we trying to please God? If we're trying to please the world, or we're trying to please the self, we're not going to be very good servants. We're going to try to look the part. We're going to try to, you know, act the part. But when we're trying to please God, if we're sincere, then we're going to be the kind of servant that God wants. And if it is God that we're trying to please, there's one thing that our whole life that there should be in the back of our mind as we live our life and as we go about our days and as we do what we do and as we serve others, in the back of our mind, we should always be thinking, someday I'm going to be standing before my Lord. And there's only one thing I want to hear from Him. And that's, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come into the place I prepared for you. Don't you want to hear that? I would hate to hear, away from me, for I never knew you. Well done, my good and faithful servant. It sounds so simple, you know, and it sort of is in a way to be that kind of servant. The prayer team, if you want to come up. But we just have to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. It's so easy to let our emotions rise up. You'll find yourself saying, why should I do that? She doesn't deserve that. He doesn't deserve that. What did they ever do for me? I know what they did last time. They don't really care. Blah, blah. All these things will come into our mind. We need to not listen to those things. Instead, we need to listen to God. Be led by the Spirit of God. It tells us to serve, to love, to give of ourselves as God did, as Christ did. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you humbled yourself and took on the nature of a servant. Lord, if you hadn't come here to serve, if you hadn't become the servant that you were, we wouldn't even know. We wouldn't even know about you. We wouldn't have the cross. We wouldn't have our salvation. We wouldn't have the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't have forgiveness. We wouldn't have eternal life. We wouldn't have salvation. But because you were a servant, we have these things. And Lord, now we want to be the good servant, the faithful servant who shares that same blessing with others. Lord, so that there might be more that can join us in loving and worshiping you. Lord, help us to be Spirit-led servants. Lord, so that every day of our life we would always be open and ready and willing to be led by your Spirit to do what you call us to do, to be obedient, to serve others, to share the message, to speak when we're supposed to act when we're supposed to do whatever it is that you call us to do. Help us to be that kind of faithful, true servant, Lord God. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each one here, Lord God, that your blessing would fall upon your people. That your Spirit would move upon us, Lord God. That we would be filled again today, right now, with your Spirit, Lord. I know we need that filling over and over and over. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit right now. That we might be filled to the fullest, to the brim, overflowing, so that as we go about our days, that we could truly be that servant that you've called us to be. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Thanks for coming out today. God bless you. Have a great day. Don't forget, we got prayer up here if you need prayer for anything.
Keeping you back from your life. You believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right.